Hello, and welcome to the Lost.101 podcast, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS. It's the misty morning after a torrential night before, and you join us at 7:30 a.m. on the starting parkour. This episode has some more binaural recordings from the road and from the checkpoints, so do get some headphones on and enjoy. Here's Sophie Potter getting a morning update from race organiser Andrew Phillips.
Good morning, everyone. We are on the parkour at the moment. We just woke up, and like every morning, Andrew, our race coordinator, is checking his messages. So what's going on this morning?
Well, I've woken up to some messages from our rider comms manager, Andy, who's based back home in the UK and has the race phone. So that's the number on the back of the Brevet card, which is our emergency number for riders. And he's been in touch with a few riders overnight. We've had a few crashes. We've had one hospitalisation. She's okay, fortunately, but we have a few riders to check on this morning just to make sure that everyone is fine and that everyone's making sure they prioritise their safety first.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, for a lot of them, it's their first time running through the night. So we're going to crack on and go and check them.
One of the riders that took a fall, but thankfully was relatively unscathed, was Cap 116, Hannah Richardson.
What happened to your knee?
I fell off my bike yesterday, quite hard, about 60k in.
What happened?
It was quite a slippy descent as it was getting dark, and there was a dog that had been just following us, totally chill, just following, and then the dog dived out in front of the person in front of me. They slammed their brakes on, back wheel span out. I saw that, put my brakes on, my back wheel span out. So we both sort of, yeah.
Okay.
It was one of those ones where I slid down the hill and I felt every single part of my body hit the floor, and I was like, any one of these parts could be actually broken now. So I got up and I was like, yep, we're good, we're fine.
Good to go,
yeah. Yeah, carry on.
Here's Ellis Cookson, Cap 40, who had the kind of night that would normally end most people's races.
And I had the like gloves on and I hit the puddle and didn't realise, and I went over the handlebars. But because I was still clipped in, the bike just came with me. And then, but I landed on this side.
Yeah, I can see the
I snapped my shifter and did that, and then bent that so the derailleur went into the wheel. God. And then I was like, maybe that's the end of the race for me.
Yeah.
But then I fixed it. Somehow.
Well done.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's hanging by a thread, but like, it's fine. It's working. So who am I to question that?
And did you stop after that, or did you just power on through?
Just continued on.
Have you stopped at all to rest?
I did. I stopped for like 3-4 hours, but then I was so cold that I just couldn't sleep because I was just like shivering. Because it's wet. It's been wet. The whole time.
Yeah.
Just the whole time. Wet.
Do you have a plan for the rest of today?
No. I think just continue, ride, get some lunch, ride until I don't feel like riding anymore. My Airbnb rejected my booking, so that's fun.
Here's Cap 1, Manya Beauchert, whom Sophie found trying to push her bike to keep warm with some helpful distractions.
So I find you like walking up a hill looking at Netflix.
Yes. Yeah, this keeps me awake, and yeah, I didn't sleep much last night because it was too cold.
Did you try and stop to sleep somewhere?
I found a little bus stop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, was not the perfect place, but I was so soaking wet from the rain. I just had to stop and change my clothes, and then I tried to sleep, but I was so cold. But anyways, this beautiful morning is...
You're sending good spirit for someone who slept in a bus stop and froze, like shivering in a sleeping bag, yeah?
It's all forgotten now because the morning is so beautiful. I had so beautiful views of the sunrise, and that's what I came for.
Cap 18, Elizabeth Selesky, was buzzy, having found moments of peace on the bike in between the downpours, and also having brought a simple hack to stay just a little more comfortable.
You just said that it's your first time going through the whole night.
Yeah, I've never done that.
How does it feel?
It's funny, it's like, technically, I have not slept, but I didn't continue riding the whole time. I did find a shelter, stayed out of the rain, and honestly called a friend back home just to be like, I hear dogs, so I'm going to call a friend and we're going to chat about whatever we feel like chatting about until I decide what to do next. But actually, the night riding itself before the last wind of rain was really cool. Like, crickets, you know, seeing other lighters. Like, I was never alone for very long because, I mean, we're all starting at the same time, so yeah. But, like, so seeing lights up ahead or, like, behind, like, really cool. But, like, and then I heard owls, I think. Who could say? So that was really cool. Like, I would totally do that again if not for rain and my rain gear failing on me. But like, yeah, so all in all, like, I mean, still a very cool adventure, but now I am feeling quite sleepy, and so basically I think I'm gonna erase the day deadlines I was thinking initially and just see if I can nap somewhere and then make a new plan after I do that, one thing at a time.
Sorry, I'm going to ask you a last question. Can you explain us the situation in your shoes down there?
Oh my God, yeah, did you just spot this? Okay, so as I said, I've gone through both of my jackets. I, in fact, had two different pairs of wool socks and then little tiny wool socks for sleeping because my feet get cold. And I have now worn all three into wetness. And so I had, from home, backup bread bags because I am from Seattle and know that occasionally, for example, a cleat may betray you and there can be a hole and just splash from the ground. So, yeah, we have absolutely no socks, but two bread bags going on right now. And I'm not going to lie, they're feeling more effective than my wool socks were at like 2 a.m. So, yeah.
Here are Abby Leroy and Amy Longley Cook riding as a pair, Cap 144, on how a freezing night on the parkour brought them together.
Did you get any sleep?
We shared a bivvy.
That was not the original plan.
What do you mean by shared a bivvy?
Two people, one bivvy.
One bivvy bag.
But is it like a bivvy bag?
No, it's a one piece of bivvy. So we each have our own bivvy bag and so our own mat. And we found a lovely abandoned garage to set them up in. And then we tried to go to sleep. And then about 2 a.m. I was so cold. I was like, Abby, can I come in with you? So we spooned in her bivvy. And I think I had about 2 and a half. Apparently I was snoring, so.
It means that you weren't sleeping.
Yeah.
Are you, what's your relation?
Her older brother is my partner.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of like sisters. We've known each other for 16 years? 17 years?
Okay, so maybe spooning was a first time.
It's the first time for that, though. But you know, if you're going to ride as a pair, you might as well take advantage of a pair.
How are you?
We got really cold last night.
Yeah. Last time I saw you was in the cafe.
Yeah.
You stopped to watch the match between the Barça and the Real Madrid, yes?
Yes.
What happened since then?
We stayed the night in Rodeo. We are a little behind this morning. We had some problems with the bike and had to stop and fix it on the side of the road. So we've lost a little time, so hopefully we can make it up again.
What was the mechanic about?
She had a problem with her brakes.
So my front caliper isn't functioning properly. So I think I fixed it for the time being.
Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah.
Nicole Lewis, 147A.
And Johanna Greenberg, 147B.
Cap 18, Laura Schwindling-Gerick, had unfortunately had a slightly less peaceful night indoors.
How are you?
Not good.
But you're still smiling. What's going on?
After, I don't know, 16 kilometers of climbing, that was very hard. I have since yesterday in the evening some problems with my stomach. And that is hard. If you can eat, then it's not so. It's not the best situation.
Did you sleep last night?
Not very well, and we was a lot of people was in the hostel. And when you are in a room with more than 8 people, that you interrupt
the sleep of the other ones. Yeah, it is sometimes it is like it is.
At Control Point 1 in Braganza, volunteers Ian and Suzanne were welcoming a steady stream of riders arriving for their first stamp on their 1&1 Brevet card. One of those riders, Jetske Vandenberg, arrived just before 1 p.m. and in 7th place, despite feeling behind on her training. With a transcontinental and Three Peaks ride under her belt, though, she's no novice to ultras, as she told both volunteers and our race organiser, Hannah.
What's coming up next? Do you know?
Four.
Like in terms of what your route looks like from here? More hills.
Yeah.
For a Dutch person, that's not nice.
How do you train for it?
Against the wind.
I barely trained this year because I went to Africa.
Oh.
And I came back on the 1st of April, so since then I started cycling again.
You've only been training again since April?
Yeah.
Wow.
How long were you away for? 3 months.
Oh, wow. What were you doing? Wow.
My master
was. Well, you're going very well considering you've only been training for the last month.
Yeah, I was not sure what to expect, but so far it's going
that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. You must have a lot of years of good conditioning.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really blown away by knowing the conditions that the riders have been through and just seeing them come through here and how strong they are and the hardships of some of them being, it's really motivated me to be stronger and better because they're just really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they had major difficulties.
Really major.
And decided, okay, 3 a.m., I'm going to mend this bike. I've never done it, but I'll try in the rain, in the dark. And they arrive here and they say, yeah, I did it.
Some of them have lost their garments from the weather and their broken derailleurs and changing tires and all of that in proper storms.
Yeah.
You were saying when people arrived, everyone was asking how you...
Yeah, that I think that's amazing. You know, the riders come in and they say, how are you? You know, and I think, well, how are you? Because you've been going through the night without sleep and in this weather. So that is, that's amazing. As an older woman, I have motherly feelings towards these young women who are, well, mature women who are doing this. I just want to say, oh God, can I give you a hug, you know, but I'm not allowed. So I don't.
Anna Richter had arrived at CP1 before any of our team had got there. But thankfully, both Ian and Suzanne were already there to catch Anna as they flew through.
Anna looked like they had just cycled from around the corner. Fresh, upbeat, polite. Not as they had cycled for 18 hours, I think, without stopping. I am flabbergasted.
I was really impressed. Anna showed up and they took a little piece of cake, said hello, got on their bike and away they went. I was really blown away by the efficiency and the nonchalantness of the visit to the checkpoint.
We're good. I lost my apple, which I'm really sad about.
I tried to eat an apple this morning, but I couldn't. So I was like, I take it. You can have one of half of it if you like. But I don't know if it's allowed. No, I think so. I don't know. Is it allowed to share an apple? Yeah. I don't know.
At this point.
What? Oh. It's... So, if you had, like, an energy gel and there was a rider who was like, oh, I can't climb this hill anymore until I have some energy, and you gave him a gel, then that would be supporting him. But if you're just like, oh, do you want to share this apple with me, then... It's kind of different.
You lost your apple. Okay. You can have half of mine. I'd love half of an apple. Is that okay? Thank you. I really feel like I need some fruit in my life.
I've been feeling
existing
same.
On sweet.
I'm desperately on the lookout for an actual shop.
That's what.
Apples are exactly what I've been craving. When you're only eating tortillas, the opposite.
I think I've had.
So I'm at the beginning of the second parkour of the Lost Dot 101. It starts at a lookout point above the Douro River, looking down into this quite immense gorge, which is flanked on both sides by these big granite shoulders of rock cascading down towards the water. And it's a pretty spectacular position to be in because we are above a group of vultures circling below us, and you can really see their immense wingspan spreading out, the kind of fingers at the end of each wings that make the vultures easily identifiable. So we know that Anna Richter has already come through. They're riding super, super strong, and they are around 3.5-4 hours ahead of the riders behind them. We are waiting here for some of those other riders to come through to hopefully have a little chat and snap a couple of photographs in this stunning location. I think after riding in and out of valleys all day, arriving at this incredible viewpoint where the road just ends and you've got this massive 500 meter drop below you is really quite a magical place to come to. And hopefully riders will kind of pause here and take in these views before setting off again. This is the beginning of the parkour, so it's actually an out and back from the main road.
Here's Amrai Kuna, second rider at Parkour 1, who had a crash earlier in the race, a GPS that died on them and was sounding a little wiped out from riding through the night, but was pressing on through the Douro.
How has it been going?
Really tough.
Yeah? I heard you had a bit of a tumble, a fall somewhere.
Yeah. I crashed on kilometer 60 already.
Okay, so quite early on.
Second hour.
Are you all okay?
Yeah, and then my wahoo broke, which is quite awful.
Yeah. And how are the legs feeling now?
They're still okay.
Good.
Yeah.
And what about being in this beautiful place?
Really nice.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel a bit like on a holiday right now. I don't feel like I'm in a race.
Well, you're doing great. Yeah. Do you have a plan for later today?
Not really. I will sleep somewhere inside, find a hotel. Let's see.
You rode through the night last night?
Yeah. Yes, through the rain. Yeah, I don't have stuff to bivy.
Okay.
But I got lots of food now, so I'm ready to go.
Nice. Well, good luck.
You seem so relaxed.
There's lots of eagles down there. Not eagles, vultures down there. Nice. So I feel like you should ride like a vulture for the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Actually, there's lots. They were low and now they're really high. Nice. I guess the thermals are lifting them up. Yeah, ride like you've got a thermal behind you.
Yeah. I'm not in a rush.
Back at the end of the start parkour, the midfield were starting to come through in significant numbers now, where Sophie Potter was wondering how all the different routing choices and planning would play out on the road.
We are day one. It's 4 p.m. I'm standing at a Repsol station with five other cyclists who just stopped to get snack, water, get access to the toilets, and they are about to go again. This is quite a common scene in an ultra-distance race. A gas station is actually the best way to get food fast. It's quite efficient stop. The rain stopped. We have a blue sky here, which is super nice. So we are currently at the end of the parkour one. They just finished to cycle 171k, and I don't even know how much elevation, but I can tell you that we were in a car, in the control car too, and the climbs were brutal and endless, and so many of them. It was just up and down, which is, in my opinion, even worse for the legs than a big climb and then a long downhill. So well done to them. From now on, they're going to go on their own routes. It will be interesting to see how well they plan the routes and if they're going to regret not spending more time working on it. Anyway, let's go back on the routes and let's try to move a bit forward and try to catch a bit more of the mid-pack of the race.
Sophie came across Nina Warburton, Cap 65, who was taking a moment in a bus stop to rest from the rain and call home for a bit of motivation.
It is beautiful, but the climbing is just relentless. I'd struggle with how slow I'm going. But I think everybody's, except the fast people.
A lot of people are.
We were in the car and we were like, ooh, those are steep climb.
Well, they just go on and on. And then there's another one. And then there's another one. And then there's another one. So I thought, I'm going to stop. I'm going to hide from the rain for a bit, put my rain jacket on, have something to eat, call my husband. And he's like, right, you got this, keep going.
Thanks for the support.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how we get on.
Good. We've got this.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, for some riders, the rain and cold had been too much. Here's Amanda Story, Cap 104, who Sophie found heading to Cordoba and some warmer weather.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm just done. Yeah, I'm done.
Have you slept last night?
Yeah, I slept. Not much, but I did sleep.
Do you have any pain somewhere? Or?
Oh, my knee's sore. I just thought I'd get a bus. Didn't get anywhere, so I thought I'd just walk back to town. Because there's bus stops up there. And then try and persuade them to put my bike on a bus. Or get to a train station.
When did you start thinking about...
So, yeah. My knee was sore last night. And then was like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll wake up, put some ibuprofen on it, have a nice shower. I'll be fine. And it's just got more and more sore. And you just think, there's so much climbing. Actually, I'd rather like get a train somewhere and then still do bits of cycling and work my way towards the finish.
But, so we can still dance.
Yeah, but like a direct way.
How do you feel about your decision?
It's not a decision I want to make. Mm-hmm. Like, I came here to have fun. And I've not had fun today. It's been beautiful, but I've not had fun.
As night approached again, riders started to make their plans to continue or pause for the night. Here's Cap 27, Elsa Beck, whom Sophie found at 9 p.m, eating what they described as a huge pizza, after apparently underfueling earlier in the day.
Well, my plan is to have a sleep, because I just boobied last night. So I'm going to go to a hotel for a few hours and shower. And then I'm just trying to decide what's better, to sleep more and then arrive in Braganza at like a nicer time for food and things, or get up in the middle of the night and arrive early. So I don't know. I'm still deciding.
How do you feel about the race in general?
It's really cool. I mean, it's the first 2 days, but it's nice to be around. Like, you're on your own for a lot, but then you do bump into people. Whereas I think on maybe other ultra races is less so, because everyone's at different speeds, or there's really fast people, but I think there's just a more of a like level playing field. So that's nice. It gives you more vision on the climbs if you can see a little dot. Especially that, like, I think if I didn't have that girl in front of me, I would be very sad on that final climb.
Sophie sent in this final report, signing off for the day with a roundup of the day's ultra cycling avant-couture sightings and gossip.
Time for the recap of the day. In the control car number 2, we are in Portugal, where the CP1 is. We start our day this morning approximately like 100 kilometers into the first parcours and slowly made our way forward before catching up some riders looking pretty tired and in the need of a warm coffee. The first night into a race is always very hard, as the body is not fully charged of adrenaline yet and doesn't understand what's going on, basically. Why are you not going to bed when it's 3 a.m. in the morning, rainy and cold? Sleep management is key in an ultra race. Last night, some riders slept outside, some inside, and some just kept on moving. Church porch, bus stop, the house in the playground, a ditch on the side of the road. Those are great places that turn into a 5-star hotel in the ultra race. My favorite, public toilets. So here is my favorite section of the recap of the day. Nick, I'm gonna need a little jingle here.
Where is she been, Serena?
And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO.
It's the Gossip Girl moment, hence me looking at everyone Instagram story, yeah, too old for TikTok, sorry, and report the fun fact I can find. Suzanne Heideck, cap 115, throw a cap off, maybe a race strategy to save some weight in the relentless climb of the day. Last but not least, someone mentioned that it was Katarina Zerlaus, cap 73, birthday today. So happy birthday. Honestly, is there any better way to celebrate a birthday than riding through the whole night? Léa Lamotte, Cap 16, shared a bus stop with Océane Bourchi, Cap 42, at midnight. They spoke in English, only to realize in the morning, like 2 hours later, they were actually both French. It's funny because we French usually are quite recognizable. Chris Murray, Cap 81, celebrated her entry to Portugal with a very typical dinner, McDonald's. Fashion moment of the day. Elizabeth Saleski, Cap 18, didn't go for all white high rody socks, but chose the very trendy bread plastic bag instead as socks. Judy Scordon, Cap 3, chose a very different designer and went for a dog poo plastic bag, as they are definitely making a comeback this season. Everything they can do to keep their feet dry. Many dishwashing gloves, obviously, on the catwalk today, as those are the best gloves in the world for a rainy day on the bike. So everyone said the climbs are endless, brutal, multiple climbs, but everyone is eager to continue. It's 9 p.m. at the moment and 45 solo riders came through already. This year there is 9 pairs out there, the only riders who are allowed to draft. Joanna Drolshagen and Jon van Bommel, Cap 146 A and B, arrived at the first pair tonight at CP1, but the other one are not far behind. 3 riders scratched the race so far. It's part of the process. So to all the riders out there close to CP1, you've just completed 300 kilometers and 6,000 meters of elevation in pouring rain. So give yourself a round of applause and keep up the good work. Tomorrow in Control Car number 2, we will spend time at the CP1 and listen to the stories of all our legends out there.
Further south into Portugal at 8 p.m. from Control Car 1. Aflin sent a roundup of what's happening at the front of the race as we head into the long second night of racing.
So compared to yesterday's start line, when no one really seemed to want to admit that they were racing for the win, the way that the front pack seemed to be going today is really showing that there's a competitive edge in the air. Got a lot of fast moving times, short stops, and it really seems like folks are giving it their all. Mechanicals, bad stomachs, crashes and lots of failing tech have really shaken up the top 5 quite a bit, even within today's standings. We're currently out on the second parkour. At the beginning of that parkour, it's about 8 p.m. Portuguese time, and we've got 5 riders currently on the parkour. Between them, they've each stopped for about an hour in total in the 24 hours since we started. But out front, Anna Richter is still riding incredibly well, with a 4-hour lead on the second rider, who's currently Jeanne Lepois. Anna's averaging about 420k a day with 0 stop time so far, which is super impressive. It looks like there's a much drier forecast tonight, so things could change again. Lots of people rode through the night last night when it was very wet, so it'll be interesting to see who chooses to stop, who chooses to bivvy at the side of the road or stay inside, and who chooses to ride through the night.
That's it for tonight. Good night and good ride, everyone.